Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
The incentives that for investment and economic growth will bring in enough growth and therefore tax revenues. But if it's guaranteed to stay level as long as you paid it for the entire 20 or 30 years, so you felt very secure and you figured, gee, 20, 30 years from now, the mortgage is paid off.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline Studio on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks very much for tuning in to the Wintrust Business Lunch, and welcome to Wednesday afternoon. Frank Sennett will be here a little bit later to talk about what they're writing about in cranes. There's a good piece by Danny Ecker that I want to talk to Frank about, and it's about this new hotel at McCormick Place, which is actually, I think, three hotels in one, but the implication it means for the downtown hotels and really for that new neighborhood that they're trying to create, sort of a destination around the Wintrust Arena and all of that. So we'll talk to Frank Sennett a little bit later in the program. Right now, we say hello to Terry Savage, a personal finance expert. TerrySavage.com joins us on most Wednesdays. Terry, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
My goodness, I swear I heard my own voice a few minutes ago talking about everything from tariffs to life insurance policy.
I know, we surprised you with that a little bit. I wish I could have seen your face. I was telling Bennett, I bet you...
Wait a minute.
Well, let's start with tariffs, right? China announced these new 25% charges on $16 billion in U.S. goods. I think there's some fuels there, some large passenger cars, motorcycles, and Wall Street's feeling that today.
Oh, when will they learn? You know, you never get good results if you start out with bad principles. You know, you can justify it to yourself and say, yeah, but. Well, I've said the same thing. I think it bears repeating from day one when the first talk of tariffs came up. Nobody wins a tariff war. American consumers have benefited hugely from the ability to buy stuff from China. Everything that's on Walmart shelves, not everything, but, you know, lots of stuff that we buy from China comes in at very low prices. And when we put tariffs on Chinese goods coming in, it means not that businesses pay tariffs or anybody else pays tariffs. The price of the tariff, the amount of that billions of dollars, is passed on to consumers in higher prices. And those higher prices translate into, oh my goodness, the cost of living is going up, inflation, which translates in the marketplace, oh my goodness, if the dollar doesn't buy as much because prices are rising, we have to have higher interest rates, says the market, to offset that falling value of the dollar's purchasing power. And by the way, we owe $21 trillion worth of debt, and as it matures, we're going to have to pay a higher interest rate, meaning we're adding billions of dollars to our national debt. And nobody got ahead on the tariff game. And we didn't really punish China very much, because if American consumers want the stuff, they'll just pay more for it. It's a silly practice, tariffs.
Are we seeing, though, I know we've talked about individual businesses that are being hurt. We've talked about soybean farmers and others. But are we seeing consumers having to pay more yet?
Oh, yeah, it's starting. Go check out the price of a washer or dryer. Do you remember back last February?
Oh, you almost were going to buy one. Yeah, right.
I did. I bought a new, the best washer and dryer I could find was not the Whirlpool. It had a plastic tub. So I bought a Samsung. I was about due for a new washer and dryer. This wasn't just a capricious purchase. And of course they cost more now. Just check them out. But, you know, let's go back to soybeans, which nobody ever thinks very much about because they are Illinois' largest export. And we think that China can only get soybeans from the United States. But as it happens, Brazil has far surpassed the United States in exports of soybeans. Because of their climate, Brazil can grow actually two crops of beans a year, whereas here in the United States, we don't have really any land that can grow a double crop. So China has totally bypassed U.S. markets and has placed big orders from Brazil. So not only do you hurt consumers, but you hurt the farmers who don't get the export business. And those farmers owe, you know, on their John Deere tractors or whatever else, their bank loans, their mortgages. We are putting in motion something that's very harmful to American consumers. And I hear a lot of people saying, yeah, but we're going to teach them a lesson. Yeah, the Chinese stock market's down 27%. We're near our highs. But I think down the road, you will see that the impact of these tariffs does more harm to Americans, both consumers, our farmers, our manufacturers who will lose orders to, you know, you think that Chinese right. won't buy German cars instead of American cars. So we're going to lose a lot of business, ultimately a lot of jobs, and this is going to be very dangerous to the American economy. Huh? Right now, we have all good economic news, good right. earnings, good corporate reports, but I think this is going to have a real negative impact 4 to 6 to 8 months from now.
All right, there's that. You know, when I was talking to Bill and Wendy about what's coming up on the show today, I didn't know if I was going to bring it up or not, but Maria LaMagna, who's a writer for MarketWatch, is going to be on tomorrow, and she just wrote a story today about fees that the average American pays on banking and investment fees over the course of their lifetime. And she was just referring to a Wallet Nerd study that one of them said that could be close to $369,000 over the course of a lifetime. Another was $155,000. And just as I'm saying that on the air, I get an email from you that was not very complimentary to the study.
Well, the point is, you know that I talk frequently about getting the most for your money in terms of your investment costs and advisory fees. In fact, we did a really great story. It's still up at terrysavage.com on how much buying the wrong mutual funds through your investment advisor could cost you. The same great funds, Fidelity funds, for example, sold with practically no cost directly through Fidelity, but a fortune in costs that not only are the fees you pay, but impact the amount your remaining money can grow over the years. And I think that's probably what Maria's getting at. So it's very important to talk and be aware of not only the fees for buying and selling things like mutual funds, but the ongoing fees that are charged every year, depending on the class of shares right. you buy, really can make a big dent. Same thing with bank fees. I probably waste a lot of money, but one of the things I don't do is ever pay an ATM fee to withdraw cash.
You know, that's a good point.
That's a really, you know, expensive practice, and I just think that that's a big waste of money, even if it's only $3 at a time.
And you know what, I'm certainly always happy to put in a plug for Wintrust, but that's one of the things about Wintrust. I think they don't charge for ATM fees. That's very nice.
And it's a reason for either having a bank that has lots of ATMs or going to a bank that has a sensible policy. That goes as my pet peeve.
I got to run. That's Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, she's written about short-term insurance in a very clear way, and yet I'm still confused. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, as we sit here on 720 WGN. All right, we're going to talk to Frank Sennett in just a second. I just want to give you a heads up, too. You know, we do these travel trips with WGN listeners every year. Usually I go on a couple. We do maybe four in total, and we're working on next year's schedule. I've been getting a lot of emails from you about that. And the first one we're going to unveil is a really cool trip to the Swiss Alps. I've never seen the Alps. As many times as I've been to Europe, I've never seen the Alps at all. And we're going to spend some time in Switzerland. That will be next June. I think right now we're looking at a June 12th departure. And I hope to have details on that coming up within a week or two. So if you're interested in that, drop me an email or just keep an eye out, because we'll have some more info on that coming up pretty soon. You can email me at steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. Frank Sennett's always dropping me emails. I can't get away from him. He's on a phone line now. Frank, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. Where are you?
In the grand city of Chicago.
Oh, okay. Hey, listen.
Good to talk to you.
Danny Ecker wrote this piece about in the Cranes about the new hotel space in around McCormick Place. It's actually adjacent to McCormick Place, which I've got a lot of questions about. So it's a 466-room hotel, right? But it's one hotel with three different hotel names?
Yeah, so it's all owned by Hilton, but they have branded it three different ways. It's tri-named, as Danny said. I have no idea
I've
why.
I've never seen that
branded. Yeah, I haven't either. So part of it's a Hilton Garden Inn. Part of it is a Hampton Inn, and part of it, and this makes a little more sense to me, is Home to Suites, which is an extended stay hotel. So you can kind of see why you know, they might have two different, but sure. I don't understand why two hotels plus the extended stay brand, but
The extended stay is 95 rooms. The other two are about 185 or a couple more than that. And they must all be within the Marriott family, I guess, which makes some sense there too. But other than getting their brand name out, I don't know why they wouldn't have one name and run it as one hotel.
That's all Hilton brands, and there's already a 1,200 room Marriott Marquis there.
Okay.
So between the two of them, there's more than 2,900 hotel rooms that are now physically connected to McCormick Place.
Yeah, that's the part of it.
Big amount.
I had a little brain freeze there, right? And so that's kind of the story, right? That we've got all of these hotel space, all these hotel rooms right by McCormick Place now. There's a real push to make the McCormick area this destination spot. These hotels will help for that. And then what suffers are some of the big box hotels that are a little bit further north in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, so, I mean, with your new venue there, you're close to probably the big Hyatt is probably one that they're thinking of as far as this
I'm looking, Frank, at the Sheraton right across the river here.
And the Sheraton with I always think of those as like those salt shakers as part of the design. Yeah, those big convention hotels, there's going to be pressure on them now and could be lower prices for conventioners as these downtown hotels compete with the ones connected to McCormick Place. And one of the things is, it's convenience versus attractions. If you want to stay at McCormick Place, there's not a whole lot. You can see a DePaul basketball game now, but there's not a ton of entertainment options real close by like there is in River North and the Loop.
And yet that might be changing too, right? I see the Israel Adonijé and Julius Peppers are working on rehabbing a building there, Hudson Motor Building. Another Dryhouse, the Richard Dryhouse, working on the Marmon Building all along this corridor. So, I mean, there is real movement toward making that a destination neighborhood.
Absolutely, and that, I think, will come, as you build the hotel rooms, then they'll want the amenities, and those amenities will come. And I will say that somebody who's spent quite a bit of time in the South Loop, Reggie's Rock Club, already built.
Yeah?
I would send everybody there. It's a great venue.
So. Reggie's Rock Club?
Yeah, on South State. It's not too far from McCormick Place. Got a roof deck, got a record store. They have a wide variety of music programming, good food. It's like this hidden gem in the South Loop.
Wow, I had not heard of it, so I'm glad you brought that up. So when it comes to hotels downtown, they're complaining, and they had said that the Marquis had been hurting them last year. But the numbers for them so far this year are up. Am I correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's been a good year for tourism. It's been a good year for conventions. There was a 13% jump in inventory, and they're going to get another 2,700 new rooms by the end of 2019. It's holding up okay so far, but is there a cap on this?
And we'll follow that. Another story that it's big news when ComEd's power goes out, right? Or it's easy to find out that the system is failing when your meat is thawing in your freezer. When
right.
When it stops, when you don't see those outages, it doesn't stand out as much. So they stand out or get more grief for failure than they do praise, perhaps, for success. Having said all that, we're in this smart grid system, and Crane sort of looked at where we are now and whether it's been worth it, all of this investment. And I guess the answer in the story, best I can tell, is that it might still be too early to tell.
Yeah, I mean, they were saying in terms of the response time, there haven't been enough heavy storm summers to really test the system with a smart grid, but that some of the indicators are really promising. The one piece of the story that really jumped out at me is that each storm in the 5 years leading up to the law knocked out power to 88,000 customers on average. And in the most recent 5 years, after smart grid's really been deployed, that's down to an average of 60,000 customers per storm. So that's a pretty significant decrease. And I guess what the smart grid does is it automatically reroutes power from working equipment to customers affected by damaged equipment whenever possible. So I would think that that's a direct impact of that.
It's interesting how the world changes. I've been in the newsroom here for over 30 years, and you know, power outages used to be a significant story. People would call here and we'd call ComEd and they'd say 40,000 out, 20,000 out, 15 out or whatever. We don't do that as much anymore. I think that's probably because there aren't nearly as many outages, but I think it's also just technology has changed where people get that information online now or in other ways. I don't know.
Yeah, the texting each other with the phone, the battery is still working
for a few hours. Hey, we got 1 minute, but I want to talk to you, or I want you to explain for me this company, Popular Pays. We might try to get these guys on. Explain Popular Pays, and I guess they just picked up some money, right?
Yeah, they got a $5.5 million investment round. They're a company headquartered in Chicago, and this is the first I'd heard of them, too, Steve. They have this interesting model where they connect advertisers to influencers on social media, people like you and me.
I want to be an influencer.
Why have they not contacted us?
You know, but so they say they've got up to 50,000 influencers or content creators sort of in their stable. Not that many active, 5,000 any given quarter. But these are people like with Instagram following, right? And this is a company that that connects the following the influencer with, say, ComEd, who wants to talk about power or things like that. And this is how they make their money.
Right, or, you know, maybe we hire them to say, hey, check out, you know, Steve and Frank's segment every Wednesday on the Wintrust Business Lunch, you know, and you know, the thing is, by law, though, you're supposed to disclose when you're getting paid to share those messages on social media, so, you know, hopefully that's all buttoned up, but it's really interesting. I had no idea it was headquartered here.
Is that really true, Frank? I'm not sure you have to by law. I think you kind of have to by standard.
Well, FTC is going to crack down on that, actually. Yeah, if it's a sponsored message, you're supposed to disclose. And some big celebrities have kind of gotten in trouble over that.
All right, now you look into, you call Popular Pays right now, see much how much we can, how much we'd have to pay in order to get maybe one of the Kardashians to send people toward our segment. Is that how this will work?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, let's do that.
I'll pose if you'll pose. We'll talk to you next week. Frank said it. Nobody wants that. That is not an influencer move. We'll talk with Frank again next Wednesday. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Let's take this down south to southern Illinois, 320 miles south to be exact, in Marion. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced Monday that $15.3 million and 21 miles of electric transmission lines will be installed in the area, part of the Electric Infrastructure Loan Program. It's an effort to keep things up to date. As we all know, electricity is still a pretty vital part of society. And how do we get electricity there? By these transmission lines. The larger loan program is using $315 million across 14 states. And Illinois is one of the lucky ones. Go us! There's something to be happy about. And Chicago's Boeing company is also pretty happy these days because the Defense, Space, and Security division of their company fought back the expected demise 4 years ago. Their focus has been on their fighter jet planes that have seen a slump in sales recently, but opportunities are on the horizon as Boeing competes with Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman to design a trainer jet and a refueling drone for the Pentagon. That sounds like the future right there. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It is 12:51. You are listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, all right here on 720 WGN. All right, you guys are great. I mentioned that trip to Switzerland. We don't have all the details yet, but I'm already getting emails and texts from people who want more information. So I will, as soon as I have it, I'll send it out to everyone who contacts me. In the studio right now, Gretchen Van Vlijmen. She's been with us before, the Vice President of HR at StratX. Gretchen, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you.
Welcome to our new digs. Not too bad, huh?
Not too shabby. Yeah, great view.
So let's start with StratX is... tell me what StratX does.
They're an HR consulting company and a payroll company.
So for like restaurants and things like that.
Yes,
for the most part.
Yes.
And so, you know, we talk a lot about restaurant employment here, and is it tough for these companies to find workers? Is it keeping them? I mean, what's the demand? What are they finding?
Yeah, I mean, the industry for restaurants in general, there's a lot of turnover. But right now with the low unemployment numbers, it's really hard to find good talent and keep them.
Do the restaurants find, I don't want to go too far afield here, but sure. Do the restaurants find that the workers are jumping from one restaurant to another? Because, you know, I've heard some of that in the non-compete and all of that.
Sure. Lots of jumping from here to here. I think also you have to think about what benefits are offered by some of these restaurants and what are you doing to make it a really great place to work.
Right.
There's more competition out
there.
It's
all about culture.
Yeah, it is.
we talk a lot about culture here. And one of the things that, you know, people talk about is whether you are not, or you're a good fit. And I was actually reading a piece about how your career is such a big part of your life that you need to find something where you, not just salary, not just task, but something where you fit in culturally, where it works,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great luxury if there are jobs out there to be had.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not quite a good fit is a phrase that can get employers in trouble sometimes.
Exactly. So we've seen recently that there's this tendency to say, oh, we're letting you go because, you know, you're just not a good fit. Or,
first of all, I just love that phrase, we're letting you go.
Oh, sure.
As if I've been held here against
yes,
my will.
Exactly. I mean, it's all very PC, right?
Right?
This is what we're saying. But we need to get away from some of that vernacular. I think we have to start talking in more concrete terms and being very clear and concise. So if someone's not working out, why? You know, state, is it a policy or procedure they're not doing? Maybe they aren't living out the values that you've established at your company. What are those values and what are the behaviors?
So that still could be a little nebulous, right? But maybe a little bit more concrete?
More concrete. So let's say, for example, mutual respect for all employees is one of your core values. Then if that person is not showcasing respect in a meeting, you can say you did not showcase respect to
right.
your peers. And that is why we're letting you go, because you didn't live that value.
When people say you're not a good fit, which I hear all the time,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of a cop-out.
It's such a cop-out. Exactly. Like, it's kind of lazy. I think sometimes it's also an easy out, so you avoid a difficult conversation.
You don't want to hurt feelings.
Right. You know, you want everything to be okay. But at the end of the day, you're only hurting yourself as an employer, but that person. Because if there's something they need to work on, they can work on it at their next job if you're honest with them about
what,
it.
Well, how much of a responsibility is that for the employer to help the fired employee have a successful job next time?
I just think that's good business.
Yeah.
And helping word of mouth, too, with the days of LinkedIn and Glassdoor, you know, word of mouth means a lot for your recruitment process.
Can you ever just tell an employee that I don't like you?
I wouldn't recommend it. I don't know why they got in the door if you didn't like them, but I would put any type of policy or broken procedure or specific behavior alongside of that to explain why that's the case.
And so does something like you don't fit our culture or you're not a good fit, does that open up businesses for any sort of liability, or is it just not a bad
yes.
or good idea to do?
It totally does, because if you're not specific, that employee can take that any number of ways, and they might think, oh, well, you must not like me because I don't look like you, or I don't talk like you, I don't act like you, I'm the same background, and that's discrimination.
Right.
And they'll file a claim right away.
And they fill in their own blanks then if you're not specific with them.
Exactly. It's super dangerous.
And this is probably speaks to why it's good to have a strong employee manual of expectations.
Sure. Not just the handbook or the manual, but an orientation program and recruitment process so that all of these things are vetted when you're bringing that person on.
How many businesses have employee programs or orientation programs?
Not enough.
I mean, I would think if you're a mom and pop shop or even a little bigger than that, you probably don't get that specific.
Right. We work on some of that because, you know, it's about how they come in and also about how they go out. And all of that is important.
Is it a hard thing to do to come up with something like that?
Not always. It just takes a little elbow grease and looking internally, insightfully at what it is about your company that makes it a great place to work.
I'm just happy to say, Gretchen Van Vleuten, you are a perfect fit here. And
thank you.
You're welcome back anytime you'd like to be here.
I would love to be here all the time.
She is, of course, Vice President of HR at StratX. Tell your boss I said hello.
Will do.
Tell him he's not such a good fit, but he's still welcome back.
You can tell him that.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.